And it's hard to let go, even if that relationship is no longer current. And so one such book that I came across was Care of the Soul by Thomas Moore. And I remember reading that when it came out in 1992. And like lots of church people, I was enthused because so many people in the world around us seemed to be interested in matters of soul. Things that we had been interested in the church for a very long time. And it seemed encouraging to me, notwithstanding whether you could understand what Thomas Moore was talking about or not, that people were engaging in this quest for a renewed relationship with soul. For those of us in the church, we've long heard, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." So this pursuit of deeper relationship with soul was nothing new to us. But all of a sudden, we were able to enter into conversation with people around that subject who may not have had any involvement with a religious community at all. And of course, soul is a metaphor for inner life, a metaphor for something that is hard to put into words, actually. A metaphor for a dynamic process that is always present and active. But it's hard to describe, though its effects can be felt. The Greek word for soul is psyche. And this is a word that Jesus would have been familiar with simply because of the influences in first century Palestine of Greek culture and Greek language, psyche. And from it, we get modern words like psychology and psychiatry, psychopathology, which is about the suffering of the soul, and a whole assortment of conditions which can be labeled psycho, a description used recently by some of my Alberta friends about their current political regime, as in it makes me psycho. you know how that goes. So many of the stories that come to us in Scripture are about psyche, are about soul, about our inner life and how that relates to our outer world and to our everyday life. The Magi, as we know, take a long journey, which is both arduous and dangerous. And that very image invites us to think about our own journey. Where is it going? Is it following a path? Is there any kind of a lodestar that's guiding the direction? Is it meandering in a manner that makes it hard to discern my purpose? Has it stalled? So I have a sense that my life journey is meaningful and purposeful. Maybe it used to be, maybe it is no longer. All of these kinds of thoughts can come to us as we begin to look at that image of the journey and enter into, well, what about mine? And all the while, our soul is commenting about our experience of that journey. When our journey is meaningful, there will be energy to engage. Challenges become opportunities to grow. Change is less frightening and generates interesting questions for us when our soul is on board with how things are going and where we are going and what we are doing. Creativity abounds, soul being that source of creativity and imagination. The epiphany for the Magi was discovering a purpose larger than their own personal satisfaction. They were called to serve the possibility of new life present in the child in Bethlehem. And they took some very significant risks in order to find this divine presence. In fact, this is one of the central truths of the spiritual life. And that is that nothing really good happens without risk. They risked a journey both long and perilous. As we well know, the human journey contains lots of potentially lethal circumstances, whether that's a medical diagnosis, a financial meltdown, or a whole host of other things over which we have no control at all. And they can simply come and visit our life and change the direction of it, change how we are engaged in the journey. So there are all kinds of risks simply being human and living our lives. They risk their lives by confronting the principalities and powers. And when you ask the old king, Herod, when you ask the old king for directions to find the new king, wrath and all its destructive potential is just around the corner. Because that's a destabilizing question. Where do we find the new king? You can think about this in our own life too. That old king represents all of those attitudes and values and strategies that we've developed to give ourselves a nice foundation, protect ourselves, make us feel secure. And it is so fragile. Just one question, one comment can begin to change that. For instance, if you've ever heard your partner say, you know what, things feel like they're going stale. And all of a sudden the old king begins to get a little bit nervous. Why? Because what's been established is no longer working. And that's present in this story, and we're invited to consider that reality in the context of our own lives as we journey along. Change is often threatening to the current establishment. So they also risk offering their treasures, the very best of themselves, their inner gold, and they risk offering that to the possibility represented by this young child and all of that that it symbolizes for us. They had to overcome their own fear that what they had to offer wouldn't be good enough, wouldn't be significant enough, wouldn't be valuable enough. But it was. It was. Their gift of the best of themselves was given and received. And it's perhaps our greatest fear, actually, that our inner gold won't be accepted when we offer it wholly to the other, whether that is to God or others that we love. There is underneath a kind of fear that we all have that it might not be good enough. It might not be accepted. And we learn from this ancient story, when offered to God, it is. The story invites us to trust, risk, and to trust the one who is receiving our offering. And in so doing, complete the miracle of Christmas, receiving God's very best given to us, as we then also give our very best to God. And that is Christmas season. It began, and today it comes to its conclusion. And the miracle is complete, because what has been given to us has now been responded as we give back. And we go forward changed for our life journey. And for that, we may say thanks be to God.